we really preach the word for today, really, because we don't want to be keeping you here too long. We have 7 days a week. We meet here 7 p.m. That is really where we push through. Sundays is a place we worship and we hear from God, we flow in what God is doing. But really, if you want to go deeper, it's through the week. Amen? You can find time. Another thing I want to say before we go further is we are the season of Isaiah where every age group has an opportunity to go into adventures with God. And some of those adventures have to do with missions. So God has opened my Zion to both local missions and international missions. This last Saturday, we had a missions outreach. And I think the team ministered to about 17 homeless people. That's amazing. Amen? So the church was united in doing that at Mazar East. Also, some of you who went to Israel and then went to Burundi, God has bonded this house with those two nations in some ways, especially in Burundi. So plans are on the way as you pray, and that's why I'm saying this. Plans are on the way for anybody that wants to go to Israel next year, June. We have things, we're setting things in motion, so that you'll be able to plan your time, you'll be able to get your ticket ahead. And two, our plans are on the way for Burundi next year, their convention. We'll give you more details. So if you want to go on a missions trip, you have an opportunity. It's not just going on a trip. You are going to have a totally life-changing encounter, amen? Especially in Israel. Amen. That's where my Zion is, and we give God glory. And also keep us praying. Your prayers are really working. I think we're seeing an acceleration in the preparation of us at the work moving forward in this place, especially with the architectural work. Amen? Amen. So thank you for praying. Amen. 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 I just want to read a scripture for us today. For the time that we have, if you want to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 2 Chronicles 5. Just a background for this. Solomon just built this majestic temple, the building, the physical building. Everything that has to be put in place has been put in place. Amen? And everything is put in place. The Ark of the Covenant, everything is put in place, which symbolizes the presence of God in that building. So everything is there. Now something happens. That's where we are. So let's read from verse 13. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. How did they become one? To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, look at how they became one. The musicians were playing, the singers were lifting their voices. It's a corporate worship. They were lifting their voices. And when they lifted up their voices, not quiet, with the trumpeters and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." That then the house, the building, that physical building, the symbolisms of God in that environment, shifted from the physical to a spiritual atmosphere. It says, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord has filled the house of God. I'll be sharing more about the power of corporate worship, because God is about to take my Zion on a spiritual journey because of the season we're in. I was going through something, a very difficult situation. Occasionally, when I have situations that are impossible, I've tried, I've done everything I can, and I don't have a solution. I go away and I spend some time in prayer and fasting. Some I have fasted, I have prayed, I've waited on the Lord. But I've discovered something, and I'll be sharing with you also as we go into the season of corporate worship. And this thing I discovered is a key that is unstoppable. Hell can stop it. Nothing can stop it. To open that key to achieve its purpose. I've read about it in the Bible, but I wanted to experience it myself. I read in the Bible where Jehoshaphat, the king, found himself in a situation that he had no solution, humanly. Anywhere he turned, it was just an enemy. Anywhere he looked, the enemies were so much that Judah had no choice. Actually said to God, "Our eyes now." So they fasted. They called for prayer. They fasted. They prayed. And in the course of their prayer and fasting, the word of the Lord came from the worship team. And he said, "You are not going to fight in this battle. You're not going to fight in this battle. But the Lord will fight for you, but this is how he's going to do it. You are going to go and worship and praise." I mean, we read it. So, Jehoshaphat, when he understands and hears the voice of the Lord, he obeys. So he obeyed and he set the worshipers in front, the musicians in front. That is not the principle of war. It's supposed to be the soldiers and the ammunition and others. But he set the worshipers in front. Judah first. And they went praising the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. As they were doing that, the Bible says when they got to the camp of the enemy, they were all there. It's a story we read. It sounds like an old story. So, if you remember again, you will hear God told Moses, when the children of Israel were confronted by Pharaoh and his armies, and the Red Sea was standing in their way, and they didn't know what to do, and they cried. What a story to me. Sounds like a story. So impossible situation. I don't know if you faced things like that. No matter how small, no matter how big, fear. A situation where you feel you're facing death. That's where they were. God spoke to Moses. He says, move forward. But lift up your staff. Which is a symbol of worship. Testimonial worship. What is that staff done for you? Take the testimony of what that staff from the time he came out of the wilderness, he turned that rod turned to snake, he picked it up. He has seen miracles with that rod. Until he came to Egypt, everywhere that staff touched, Egypt was shaking by it. Miracles upon miracles. He said, lift up this testimony and remember what I've done. It's a sign of worship and praise. And when he did, God gave him the pathway. He never fought in that battle because the enemy chased them through that and they were encouraged. There is a place the devil cannot go. There is a height that puts you above principalities and powers. There is a place that you experience everything that God has already finished on the cross. But this was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, Paul used to wrestle with a lot of situations in his life. And you all know it, he's the apostle of the Gentiles. He cried out several times when he faces problems. God, I can't take this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. Take it away from me. You all know that. God kept giving him grace. Grace. But Paul got to a point in his life. He applied something that I knew as I studied through scriptures. He didn't just apply it out of curiosity. He discovered something. God told him to go to Philippi. He was obeying God, serving God there, and all of a sudden, a spirit that was cast out of somebody started stirring up trouble. As they've done in the past, everywhere Paul goes, this spirit stirred up trouble. This time, he stirred up problem. Paul was handcuffed, beaten, put in jail. Does that sound like Christians have trouble? Does that sound like you, since you are born again, you're just going to just cruise through life? This is an apostle going through such hard challenges. We are not immune from challenges, but we are overcomers. We are victorious. Test challenges give us opportunities for testimonies. Supernatural. We're not immune from sickness. We're not immune from attacks. But we win. We must win because he's already won. We must be victorious. Success is already programmed by the Lord. You cannot fail if you understand the DNA of what Christ has done. So look at Paul entered into a place where he is in jail, in a dungeon, dark place, beaten, chained, probably waiting to be killed later. And he was there with Silas. He would have said, Paul, you, how did you bring me into this? Did God speak to you? I mean, we know what the flesh can do. But these two people have matured to the point that Paul says, Silas, let's apply the only key that we know. We can't fight in the flesh. We can't do anything. But there's a battle. There's a place where if you don't fight, God fights your battle.
Amen.
And that's the place. Revelations 4 and 5 is the place of throne room worship. If you can worship God, with stripes in your hands. If you can worship God when you've been beaten and accused, if you can worship God in trials, If you can worship God when things are hard for you, it's not your flesh anymore. You know you are worshiping God in spirit. And your flesh cannot do it. So it was not your flesh. It was your spirit. And here you were worshiping. God, you are good. I'm in jail. God, you are faithful. I'm in jail. God, you are good. Blood is flowing out of my hands. But you are faithful. But you are good. Yes, I'm glad you sent me here. God, I give you the glory. I give you the praise. Not only when I have a new car or I have a big house. But I thank you that I can suffer for the cause of the gospel. I thank you that I'm accused for the gospel. I thank you that I can suffer shame. Like he did for me on the cross. While they were praising God in the spirit, because the flesh cannot sing when you're going through trials. As they were doing that, just like it happened with Joseph, just like it happened with Moses, all through the Bible, heaven took up that battle, shook that place up, released them, and that's how the church in Philippi today, we call it Philippian Church, was born. Adversity. Trouble. Trials. So, we read these things in the Bible, but you know, I've shared with you all over and over that this Bible is not just a book, it's a person. When you start graduating from the book, you start becoming like a person. And when you start becoming like the person, you start testing the reality of the kingdom of God. So, in this situation, I fasted, I prayed, I've done what I can. It wasn't happening. I'm not talking about small stuff. I'm talking about something that, if it didn't come true, it will wreck my faith, or wreck testimonies, or cause problems. But I know that I have a father. I just don't know when he will come through. I knew he would do it, but I didn't know when. So, he said, that's the first time God ever told me, worship. He doesn't have to tell me to worship. It's not something he has to make you. It's something you will see by revelation through scriptures. But when he told me that, he was telling me that as his strategy, enter into worship. And I didn't know what it was, and I did. And in 3 days, that miracle happened. When I tasted that miracle, I fell on the floor. It was like Jesus was right there. I said, is this possible? Is this possible? And from that moment, God changed my life forever. And ever since then, worship, I don't have to worship because I have a problem, because I have a circumstance. I entered into a deeper desire to find out what is really this worship. And as we go more into this place of understanding, you find out worship is really living, not just living, but manifesting tangible presence in a son and father's relationship. Spiritual. Real. Real. Into a finished work and God's last. There's a miracle I experienced towards the end of this year, going into January. The same thing happened. I prayed, I fasted, and I remember, so I just started worshiping the Lord. of the kingdom of God. But every time you worship, every time you worship, even though your flesh is here, your spirit is here. You are connected to heaven. You are in the clouds and the atmosphere of heaven. And when you are there, God will start speaking to you. When you are there, things will start happening to your body, to things on earth. When you are there, everything that is blocking this second heaven will give way. That's when you come breakthrough. Amen. God is looking for those sons of God who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Before I continue, and then we'll just, I'm not saying anything, we're about to just worship God for a few minutes. Just a few minutes. But yesterday, talking about the impact of what happened to this young man, because God is about to bring a harvest, and the harvest is now. Yesterday, Daisy called me. It was delightful call, and said, are we having prayer this Saturday night? I said, we don't, but I can go there right away if we have to. And you don't know when you are not in the watch, I'm just saying this. Every night you pray, just the night you don't pray, somebody was coming here, and we found out very late. So I rushed down here to be one of the nice friends. And God blessed us and gave us a new family in His house. So we're out there, myself, Daisy, and this person. Right there, I said this particular testimony for this. Let's not hide our gates. Let's, at the workplace, wherever we are, this season, the harvest is just waiting. Anne, can you stand? Stand up for a second. We were eating with our newest daughter here, Lydia. Just yesterday night. You can see them. Said, please, if you don't mind, can I say something to you? Whenever I go, anywhere I go, sometimes God will impress in my heart. And that's just, I like to obey the Lord. So Daisy was sitting there, and there was a little sad. And she opened her mouth and just prophesied to us. This is what God put in her heart. And she just shared it. And she was 100% right on, because she was obedient. And right there, because I obeyed God to run to the church here to meet somebody, and we prayed and we were just eating, God just opened the door, and here Anne came, and God was speaking to her just to comfort and to let us know. Without her knowing, was confirming what you're doing is pleasing to God. And right there, we connected. She didn't know we had a church. She didn't know we had a church. She was just ministry. And we invited her. She's supposed to go to Nashville. So if you want, you can stop by. Here she is this morning. Just allow our gifts. Amen.
Amen.
So the scripture I read to you, this one scripture I read to you this morning from 2 Corinthians 5. It says, inside all the children of Israel is the beginning of a special DNA through the covenant government with Abraham. And out of that DNA, they've been given access to the presence of God. And when they come together, God says, if they will lift their voice, singing one song, and the musicians will flow with it, and if they will unite and sing in that song, God says, I will do my part. I will inhabit. I will be in your midst. He's here. But what he's saying is, I will make myself known to you. I will become tangible to you. And wherever God comes, you don't ask for healing. Healing comes. You don't ask for peace. He is peace. You don't ask for miracle. He is miracle. Wherever you don't ask for wisdom, is everything God is comes with him. And you receive it without asking because he already knows your need. So I want us to, just for a few minutes, I want to minister to you as we minister to the Lord together. Amen?
Amen.
A song that says, as far as the heavens is, God is saying something. Amen?
Amen.
And Daisy, you just flow and we'll just go from there. So if you just...
You are exalted, we exalt you.
You
God did a shift in my heart. A shift. I used the word shift because it was an impartation that brought a new level. A new level of the senses. I have not finished processing all that, what that impartation is. But it's a deposit for this season. I want to pray. I don't have to lay hands on you, but if you want to come out here, you can be your seat. I want to release a shift in your life. That whatever the Lord was working this morning, did that Saturday morning, when it happened, it went from a dream. I thought it was a dream. It went from the dream to the physical. I woke up and the glory of God was so heavy I couldn't move for long. My brothers and sisters, God is preparing all of us for the days that we are living in. Thank you.